Good morning. It is Monday, September 19th, and things that are trending this hour, Queen Elizabeth's funeral. It took place this morning with millions watching and hundreds of dignitaries in attendance, including President Biden. The Queen's final resting place will be in Windsor Castle. She'll be buried next to her husband, Prince Philip. Also trending, Bill Maher. Somebody tweeted out that he's not left-wing and his progressive ideology begins and ends with weed. And that has taken off. And finally trending, McDonald's Happy Meal Pumpkin Pals are returning for Halloween. And apparently that's a big thing.
Wow.
It is 6 minutes after 10. He's Rob Kendall. My name is Casey Daniels. Thank you so much for listening today. So do we want to address what we were talking about last hour?
Yes. So if you're just joining us, we ended our last hour with a bit of a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big deal having to do with this show, the future of this show. And I had pointed out that certain people in politics, and it really is only the political people, and because it is a sense of entitlement, and I'm either running for public office or I'm in public office, so you should feel fortunate that I even want to engage with you and kiss my ass. And, you know, we could care less about any of these people. And the great thing about our show, Casey, is we dislike all the people equally. We are what you call talk radio mercenaries, in the sense of we got no loyalty to the Democrats, the Republicans.
Equal opportunity.
We dislike you all equally, because if you're in politics, there's a good chance you've screwed up this country equally. So there's a rule of professionalism and engagement that only the politicians don't seem to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it now, as this show has proven, it is both the Democrats and Republicans in the sense of entitlement, which is my life, Casey's life. Our show is not do drop in. It's not a CVS pharmacy. It's not a Walmart open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't have an access card to the show whenever you want. You're not to VIP. And when we saw what the lunatic, what was the lunatic guy who kept calling us?
Jake Teshka.
Yeah, Jake Teshka, who was a state rep from South Bend who kept incessantly calling the show and then was calling the hotline and then claimed he'd never heard of the show or didn't know about the show, but yet he had the hotline number and number to the station and all that stuff. You don't get to pick when you come on. Like everybody else, send an email. We'll correspond with you. We'll arrange a time. Great. The Democrats don't get it either, which is weird because they've been really good up until now about going through the proper channels. Drew Anderson, the guy I normally deal with the Democrats, very nice about, we'll send an email. And I think Drew will vouch, we try to make that happen right away when you show proper respect. The Destiny Wells people apparently did not take the common respect class at any point in their existence, because this woman, who I have never recalled meeting, I'm certainly not out on a campaign trail, I don't go to really political events, I have no idea when I would have met this person, sends me a message directly, by directly I mean to my cellular telephone, last night.
Mm.
Now, Casey, if you were to attempt to engage with someone who you didn't know or didn't know well or hadn't met before, if you had, maybe it was one time, would you send them, first of all, would you do it via text message?
No.
And would you do it at like 7 o'clock on a Sunday night?
When the Bears game is on.
So the Destiny Wells person decides to send me a text message on a Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And while there's a big part of me that really wants to have Destiny Wells on because she is, you know, running for Secretary of State, that's a viable office, that's a big office, as we've talked about, I really have some important questions to ask her.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly, I really need to know why she is a professional cheerleader for abortion from conception to live birth. I'm just fascinated by that and how she thinks how that's going to play well on this radio station. But hey, whatever. They haven't followed the rules of procedure. And Destiny Wells has a bad habit, because this has happened more than once, where she chooses to engage me on social media on threads that don't even involve her.
Mm-hmm. She likes to insert herself in the conversation.
Look, Destiny, I do more damage to the Republicans on this radio show between 9 and noon each day than the entire Democrat Party does on a monthly basis. Why you wouldn't just be kissing my ass going thank you is beyond me, especially on threads that don't even involve you.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a person who's very mean to me on social media. Mm-hmm. They broke the clear rules of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to send something that I would be very proud of back to this woman.
Yeah.
And then I took a pause. And
reason took over?
Well, I realized it is half your show.
Uh-huh.
And so I was going to leave it up to you.
Thank you for thinking of
it. Well, absolutely. Ladies first. You know, I believe in women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
About whether or not we should have this this person who has been very mean to me and clearly does not respect the rules of engagement,
mm-hmm.
which probably says a lot about them,
mm-hmm.
on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess ultimately I'll put my well-being aside, as I've done throughout most of my life. I will put my own personal benefit and well-being aside, and I will leave it up to you.
Okay, so I have a couple thoughts on this.
Yes.
First of all, bad move texting you while the Bears game is on.
Yes,
you know, bad move just texting you, period. It should have been an email. But, and this goes back to Jake Teschka, when we were going back and forth with him, when I first started working here with you, and I was inclined to let the guy on because I wanted to hear what he had to say, and you were very adamant that this is our show and they don't make the rules.
Right.
And that was a hard lesson for me to learn.
Yeah.
But lesson learned.
Yeah.
So I think you're completely right. You can't let one person break the rule.
Yeah.
Because then you've set precedent for everybody else to try and get their way as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the proper procedure for somebody who has something that they would like to say on the airwaves during our time?
Mm-hmm.
You want them to email you?
Yes.
Write a handwritten letter?
Yeah, that's fine. That'd be fine too.
So what exactly is the email you would like sent?
I believe rob@wibc.com mm-hmm. is working again, correct?
Okay. Rob@wibc.com.
Is that working now? Is that the proper channel? I'm still getting comunicados from people. Send that email real quick. See if you're rob@wibc.com, if you get a response there.
Okay.
To that.
You could also send it to casey.daniels@radio-1.com.
Perfect. Why don't we let you handle it? Because you're a fair arbiter, keeper of the gate mm-hmm. than I am. What is your email? I'll let you handle it.
casey.daniels@radio-1.com. One is spelled out.
Okay.
O-N-E.
All right. So if they, or caseydaniels317 on Twitter.
That too.
Will work.
So here's what I think, because I would like to hear what Destiny says.
Yes.
Mostly because I think it would be fantastic radio, because I would like to hear you talk with her.
Yes.
Because I know you have opposing opinions.
Yes.
So
and
that
but we're very fair.
But you're fair. But that would be really good for me.
Yes.
In terms of our ratings.
Okay. So email. All right. So the Destiny Wells people, someone I'm sure knows them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to respond to this text because.
Yeah, let it go.
Again,
if they can follow the rules, if they can prove that they're listening, they really want to do this, follow the rules.
Yeah, because we were rough on the, what was his name, the guy? What was his name?
The South Bend guy?
Yeah, what was his
Jake
name?
Teschka.
Jake Teschka, because he was not a rule follower. So we can't be breaking the rules for the Democrats.
Right.
So it's casey.daniels@radio-1.com. Okay, or @caseydaniels317 on Twitter.
Right.
And I will let Casey handle it.
And here's the thing. She needs us more than we need her.
Well, of course!
So she needs to realize
that.
But
Casey!
And their people need to realize
Casey,
that.
Casey, look, you're a woman.
Thank you for
I'm assuming
noticing.
Your gender.
Thank you for
and
noticing.
And I realize I'm going to regret asking this because, you know, oftentimes when it comes to women, you can't make sense out of any of it.
Watch yourself, Rob Kendall.
But why? If you want to be on the show, look, we've been very nice to the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Mike Schmuel on. We've had McDermott on. We've had the state reps on. We've been very polite to them.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go out of your way on social media? It's not like I made a post about, boy, Destiny Wells, total ding dong, to insert yourself with snarky, smart-ass comments to a guy who is probably, when we get right down to it, because I do have done more damage to Diego Morales than Indy Star and the rest of the media in the city combined, and he deserves it. It's not that he doesn't deserve it, because Diego's a total goof and a loser too, but why would you go out of your way to offend that person?
Well, I think, again, she's inserting herself in, and she needs us more than we
all
need
right.
her.
Well,
and that kind of goes to one of our topics here coming up,
okay,
which is relating to Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis. And let's take a break, and then we're going to get to that next on 93 WIBC. Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis and America's Governor His political operation has reported they have raised $177 million through September 9th, breaking the gubernatorial fundraising record. Now, rumors are circulating that he's preparing to mount a 24 presidential run. He's downplayed this, saying that this is all just speculation. Well, of course it's speculation at this point until he makes it official. But he has toured some battleground states and even commented on Washington politics while on the campaign trail.
It's a colossal amount of money.
It's a ton of money. $177 million.
And that's, you know, that's an impressive number if you're a national political figure, like I'm running for president, I'm, you know, Trump or whatever, much less a governor.
Mm-hmm.
He's a governor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his largest donor was the Republican Governors Association. He also got $10 million from Robert Bigelow, his single largest person donation.
And we should point out, this is the amount of money is of the $178.6 million that DeSantis has brought in is it is the PAC. There's a PAC that is aligned mm-hmm. with him and what he has actually raised through his campaign. So we do want to put out there that those are the two numbers, but it dwarfs Meg Whitman was the previous, she was a Hewlett-Packard executive, et cetera, had loaned herself a huge amount of money. She was, obviously a multimillionaire, probably a billionaire, ran for governor back in 2010. And I believe at that time, of the whatever, 178 or whatever it was that she had raised, 142.2 had been raised by her giving herself that money. So
right.
I mean, DeSantis is getting $0, I believe, has gone come from
himself.
DeSantis's campaign. Mm-hmm. By the way, the actual number was $177.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an unbelievable total.
Yeah, DeSantis hasn't put in any of his own money. DeSantis's net worth, $319,000. That seems low to be his net worth.
It does. Now, net worths are estimates. It would depend on something like, there's a possibility, and I don't know this to be true, but many times when someone becomes a governor, they will say, I have no desire to live in this home.
Mm-hmm.
Since he was a congressman, I'm just spitballing here, Casey, I have no idea. But one, they're estimates, so it could be way off. Two, if he lived in Washington, D.C., an apartment in Washington, D.C., and had a condo or whatever here that he was renting, it's possible he had no actual home because he went from being congressman to being governor. I assume Florida, I'm not an expert.
So they're not counting that as an asset anymore.
Well, he wouldn't have anything because he didn't mm-hmm. have anything to sell or hold on to.
Right.
Just a guess.
So in a recent poll, DeSantis has a 3 percentage point lead over Crist, and they're going to debate on October 12th. And speaking of debates, I just wanted to update everybody. I have not heard from the Destiny Wells camp on my Twitter or my email.
Hmm.
And that kind of leads us to our next story. That Gavin Newsom has challenged Ron DeSantis to debate on CNN.
Oh?
He says, name the time before Election Day. Well, sure, that's a good deal for Newsom, right?
Wait. So Ron DeSantis is running in a swing state for re-election.
Mm-hmm. For governor.
And Gavin Newsom's the governor of California,
mm-hmm.
who has 10 billion problems right now. I don't know, the electric grid might be front and center.
Yeah.
Telling people they got to set their thermostats to 78 and mm-hmm. unplug appliances. He wants to take time away from that. And he says Ron DeSantis, who's up for re-election in a swing state, to debate him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does Ron DeSantis have to gain out of doing that?
Great question.
It's more like Gavin Newsom needs Ron DeSantis more than Ron DeSantis needs to debate Gavin Newsom.
Now, if these two guys are running for president in a couple of years, which mm-hmm. is highly possible, and mm-hmm. are the nominees for their respective parties, also highly possible,
mm-hmm.
then absolutely I would love to see that. But this is just, Gavin Newsom's been buying billboards in Florida. He's been doing, all these things that are just of no benefit to his state himself. He's turned into an absolute troll and just what a colossal waste of time.
So Newsom tweeted out, "Hey, Gov Ron DeSantis, clearly you're struggling, distracted, and busy playing politics with people's lives. Since you only have one overriding need, attention, let's take this up and debate." And then Dan Rather got in on it as well. and tagged Chris Licht, who is the new head of CNN, and said, set up a debate one-on-one between Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis, two governors of big states, potential presidential candidates, prime time. Ratings, I bet, would be huge. Who would have the courage to show up? So now you can see Gavin Newsom is getting his liberal media buddies on board as well, and trying to get CNN to set up this debate.
I'm sorry, Ron DeSantis can't hear you. He's too busy winning. Hey,
right.
We got a second here before we get to the break. Jaden, in the 9:45 segment, there is a Julian Assange clip that I would like to play. Can we play this real quick?
Oh, yeah.
I think just because we got a minute and a half or so left. So Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks guy, mm-hmm. currently fighting extradition to the United States because he had the audacity to expose to the public, much like Edward Snowden, all the abuses by the American government and our politicians made against citizens. And, you know, heaven forbid that you let people know what's going on with your government, because they sure won't. But this old video of Julian Assange surfaced. It's a impromptu press conference he had, I believe this was years ago. And what he's saying in this clip is so true today. It's what we talk a lot about on this show every single day. I saw it. I said, we got to play this. And basically at the crux of what he's saying is government is not your friend, and they will manipulate you and exploit you at every single turn. Listen.
Every day, ordinary people teach us that democracy is free speech and dissent. For once, we the people stop speaking out and stop dissenting. Once we are distracted or pacified, once we turn away from each other, we are no longer free. For true democracy is the sum of our resistance. If you don't speak up, if you give up what is uniquely yours as a human being, if you surrender your consciousness, your independence, your sense of what is right and what is wrong, in other words, perhaps without knowing it, you become passive and controlled, unable to defend yourselves and those you love. People often ask, what can I do? The answer is not so difficult. Learn how the world works. Challenge the statements and intentions of those who seek to control us behind a facade of democracy and monarchy. Unite in common purpose and common principle to design, build, document, finance, and defend. Learn, challenge, act now.
Julian Assange, so he remains in a prison awaiting extradition to the United States. His defenders consider him a symbol of free press and a fight for justice.
And what he said is so true. Voting, and we cannot express this, or I cannot express this enough, emphasize this enough. Voting, simply voting, is not enough. You have to know who you're voting for. You have to know who those people are that are worthy of your vote. And you've got to get involved and bring people with you to vote for people who have earned your vote.
Mm-hmm. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And over the weekend, I got deep into the Todd Young vortex. Can we do an update on that?
Yes, please.
All right, that's coming up from 93 WIBC.
Nice and in alone, conversations with a stranger.
Nearly 8,000 migrants are now crossing the southern border each day. Ron DeSantis' decision to send migrants to Martha's Vineyard is highlighting the hypocrisy and fake outrage coming from the Democrats and also the media. It's also putting a spotlight on the issues facing the border, border towns, and sanctuary cities. And the mayor of Washington, D.C. had some comments about it.
Yes. So it is fascinating how Miriam Bowser is the mayor of Washington, D.C., how what this has accomplished in the sense of how rapidly, and we've talked about this before on the show, how rapidly liberalism falls apart when you force it to be explained and worked through out loud. Like so often, they being the politicians, will just say it, the media will report it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no follow through on, okay, mechanically, not just, boy, wouldn't it be great if everyone could make $15 an hour? okay, but how does that logically work if you have to follow through on it? And what the dropping of the illegal immigrants in various liberal cities that claimed until I guess recently to be sanctuary cities mm-hmm. has proven is it was the opportunity of, okay, explain to us how the sanctuary city works. Well, we don't have the resources for this.
So it's the difference between saying it and actually living it.
And it is, and what you're about to hear is the perfect thing. The mayor of Washington, D.C., which is a sanctuary city, or I guess it was a sanctuary city, is now basically saying illegal immigrants, well, they belong in Texas. Like it's always easier in the abstract, but when you force someone to put up or shut up, here's a great example. When I've been a part of defeating multiple school referendums, mm-hmm. and my argument always to the people who want them is, if you want to pay more taxes to your local school system, they will not stop you. Why don't you just pay more taxes? If half the community wants it or it's close, mm-hmm. think of all the money the school would have. Just you pay more taxes. School will use that money and they'll do stuff. They won't get as much as they would have with the referendum. But if you want to pay more taxes, figure out what the tax rate would be and pay more taxes. Mm-hmm. And you always inevitably hear, it's either, well, or, yeah, I'm going to do that. You watch. Or it's, I contribute to the school in other ways. Oh, mm-hmm. Again, liberalism, when forced to be explained, always dies a miserable death because it's wholly ridiculous. The illegal immigration dump into sanctuary cities is forcing them to explain it out loud, to put up or shut up. And here she is saying, well, that's Texas's responsibility, not ours.
We're not a border town. We don't have an infrastructure to handle this type of a level of immigration to our city. But we'll create a new normal here in our infrastructure and have a humane welcome for people and an efficient service provision. But we don't have the ability. We're not Texas.
She said, we're not a border town. Guess what? With the policy in place from the Biden administration, the whole country's a border town.
Right.
We're all border towns. In El Paso alone, agents say that they've been encountering an average of 1,300 migrants every day since September 1st. And that is costing that city roughly $600,000.
Well, and again, the state of Texas is different than the federal government. Those cages and all those other things, they're, for the most part, the federal government where those people are kept. The state of Texas, it should be the state of Texas' responsibility to do Joe Biden's job, or before him, Donald Trump's job. Immigration to this country is a federal issue. The states are stepping up. Texas, Arizona, now Florida are stepping up and going above and beyond. But did you hear, I mean, when somebody says, Casey, well, we're a sanctuary city, you'd think she'd be overjoyed because they've been clamoring for these people when they couldn't get there mm-hmm. for years and years and years and years. And now, like, she sounds like, you know, an uninvited house, family member has shown up and you have to keep them as a house. Well, I guess, we'll do. But I thought this was...
That's what you wanted.
That's what you wanted.
Yeah, that's what you were bragging about.
The National Democrat Party wants these people being illegal immigrants here, because as has been pointed out, one, they're going to usually Texas, Florida, Arizona, which are reliable Republican states or have been, and they want them here because they will create a generation of Democrat voters. The liberal cities don't actually want them.
But they can't be liberal voters in those traditionally Republican cities if they leave, if they're not there. It's not going to help the cause.
Right.
Yeah. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And he was trending at the top of the hour. Somebody said that his policies begin and end with him smoking weed. We're talking about Bill Maher. He was on his show and he developed a unified theory of wokeness this week. And it kind of goes back to the Orwell 1984 quote of, the one who controls the past controls the future. Let's take a listen to what Bill Maher has to say.
But in today's world, when truth conflicts with narrative, it's the truth that has to apologize. Being woke is like a magic moral time machine where you judge everybody against what you imagine you would have done in 1066, and you always win. presentism. Yeah, this professor is right. It's just a way to congratulate yourself about being better than George Washington because you have a gay friend and he didn't. But if he was alive today, he would too. And if you weren't alive, if you were alive then, you wouldn't. Portland Public Schools has a plan now to teach kids that the idea of gender being mainly binary was brought here by white colonizers. The curriculum guide says, when the United States was colonized by white settlers, their views around gender were forced upon the people already living here. Not even Star Trek would try that story. Where they discover a planet and give them separate bathrooms. It's like they finally discovered a unified theory of wokeness, incorporating all their ideas about race, gay, gender, and colonizers, like the New World was a great big diverse dance club and the Pilgrims were the bridge and tunnel crowd who came in and ruined everything.
It's Bill Maher from his HBO special, A Unified Theory of Wokeness. A lot of people are saying, is he left-wing, is he right-wing? Can't figure it out.
Well, he's a super liberal person who has recognized that the monster he helped create is, you know, it's always the Dr. Frankenstein thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he gave life to the monster. He was a Trump hater. He was a very vile person towards Donald Trump. But whether it's, you know, Bane and Batman or the Joker or Dr. Frankenstein and his monster or whatever, it just keeps eating, right? I mean, and the left, and Maher recognizes this because he's smart, recognizes eventually they will come for him because he's a 60-something white guy who tells, you know, politically incorrect jokes. Mm-hmm. And so it's self-survival, but regardless of the reason, when the guy makes good points, he's a national figure that you want to get him out there for people.
He's Rob Kendall. My name is Casey Daniels. We're glad you're listening today. Do we have time to get into the Todd Young update?
Yes. Have they offered to take us up on our deal?
Okay, so Saturday morning at 9:55, I'm in the Todd Young vortex.
Yeah, real quick, I guess we should set up for everybody. Uh-huh. We were bombarded over the last week with Todd Young ads on the various social media platforms. We don't want these ads, but they're being thrust upon us. So my new theory is, and I was told, that every time on social media, if you click on an ad, it costs someone money who's running the ad.
So you're clicking on
it intentionally. So I click on it to try to, but it just means you get more ads, but it's fine. It's whatever. As you know, as much money as I can cost the guy, it's worth it. and so finally, we were saying, these ads kept saying whatever. Somebody
text Todd.
Text Todd. You can join Todd's team. Get a Todd Young yard sign. Mm-hmm. And so we made, because Todd's evil assistant Igor admitted when I went to the Stacks Pancake House that he hate listens all the time. And so we had said to Igor that tell Todd you're gonna text, and we have a very fair offer to Todd, which is that if Todd will come into the studio and ask some very simple answer some very simple questions. And we get a good answer on these questions. I will remove the Siniak sign out of my yard, James Siniak, libertarian running for U.S. Senate, and put the Todd Young sign in the yard. And that's really the only conversation we need to have after you send these messages. And now, sadly, it appears it's like Terminator, Skynet has activated and has taken over the Todd Young automatic text machine.
Yeah. So I'm having a relationship with the Todd Young automatic text machine.
Oh.
Saturday morning, I got a text at 9:55. It said, from immigration to record high energy prices, Biden's leftist agenda is a disaster.
Oh.
Well, I agree with that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let Todd know which issues matter the most to you.
Great, great. So like a little link there you can click. Yeah.
And then you click on the link.
Uh-huh, yep.
And then it brings up toddyoung.org.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got a poll.
Sure.
I'm sorry, a banner ad just popped up.
Oh, no, Todd Young's got banner ads?
Yes.
What is it, Amazon?
You know, I was just trying to close it out. I didn't even read it. It says, so when you click on the link, you've got the 22 election poll.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He wants to know my thoughts and feelings. Let Todd know which issues are most important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like 8 or 9 of them.
Yeah, there was one in there that was really interesting, though.
Okay, so these are the options. Supporting our active military men and women, veterans, and their families.
Uh-huh. Did you know Todd Young was in the Marines?
I did know that.
Yeah.
I heard that somewhere.
Yeah.
Cutting taxes, reining in government spending, and slowing inflation. Slowing inflation.
Yeah, and there's something about government spending.
Uh-huh,
Is there like a comment box? Like at the bottom where other, where you could just leave a comment.
Defending the sanctity of life, fighting back against the radical left socialistic agenda, protecting our Second Amendment rights, addressing the supply chain crisis.
Wait, it's protecting our Second Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Todd Young vote for a giant gun control bill authored by Chuck Schumer?
Well, he wants to know how you feel about it now.
Oh!
Banning schools from teaching critical race theory, supporting our ag workers and farming communities. And then at the very bottom,
yes,
you can put your name, your email, your phone number, and your zip code and submit your survey.
Uh-huh.
Now, I haven't submitted my name
yet. But there's no comment section. Because in the comment section, the fact that he's asking about gun control, which he voted for, and he's asking about inflation and government spending, of which he's added $11 trillion to the national debt. You just want to put in there, do you have any flipping idea what you vote on? Do you read anything?
So I'm inclined to check cutting taxes, reining in government spending, and slowing inflation as my number one issue.
I think that's a good one.
To
lie to us some more, Todd, about how the $11 trillion you've added to the national debt doesn't affect inflation.
Okay, so that's the one that I'll select. I'll fill in the form to get my name and email and phone number and zip code further into the Todd Young vortex.
Yeah, and I don't understand. We made a very clear deal with Evil Igor, who admitted he hate listens all the time. We are willing to trade, potentially, a yard sign if the answers are good by the Duke of Spendingburg, Todd Young, if he comes in and gives the answers. I don't know why we have to go through all this.
So simple.
We made a very fair offer.
Hey, Hammerson, next, you guys were on TV over the weekend, and we're going to see how your bets turned out on the way from 93 WIBC. It's 10:51. Hammers in the studio. Saw you on TV over the weekend with my partner, Rob Kendall. You guys were looking good.
It's almost illegal how sexy TV was this past weekend. It should be against the law to have people that good looking on television.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, we'll get to the Colts here in just a moment, but hat tip to the representative of Brownsburg. Even though it was an NFL show, and we said we're picking college and pro football games all weekend.
He couldn't help himself, could he?
He makes a golf pick.
Yeah.
But he won. Your obscure random golf guy came through and won. What was the payout?
Max Homa was the victor. It was +170. So if you'd bet $170, it would have paid you $270. Would have been your payout. You could eat at Applebee's for weeks on that.
Nice.
Somebody sent us a tweet that said by the time they got around to making that bet, it was +200.
Yeah. So if you'd have bet $100, you would have won $300. And it was one of the great chokes in golf history. Danny Willett. All he had to do was Happy Gilmore, just a little tap, tap, taparoo. Three putted on the last hole. Max Homa chipped in. Bingo.
So, hey, it's a win still.
It's a win.
Well done, sir. We're all about making people money on that show.
And I've said this many times. I stink most of the time at sports betting, except for golf. I am like the Rain Man of sports betting when it comes to golf. It is just a gift that I have.
I noticed when you guys started talking about the Colts, the very first thing you start talking about was the stadium and how you don't want to pay for it.
Yeah!
And everyone was kind of like, oh boy, we're here to talk about betting.
Right. Can we just get to how many points the Colts are going to give up and why they're not going to cover?
How does Frank Reich still have a job?
Well, that's a good question, man. It's a good question, and the wheels are this close to falling completely off.
Yeah.
It's down to like one tire and you're limping on that that shoulder of the highway.
It's like that old red van you used to have.
Right, where I could literally put my foot through the bottom and have to stop like Fred Flintstone. That's the Colts bandwagon right now. It's bad.
Rob seems to think that any random fan in the stand could do better.
Well,
is he wrong?
He may not be wrong than Coach Frank Reich. And I've not been a big Frank guy from the very beginning. There's a lot of decisions that he's made that have cost the Colts points and ultimately games. But now, this just lack of preparation. And it's not just Frank. It goes on Ballard, too, the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
You put this thing together. every fan that follows this team knew there were questions in the offseason about left tackle, about tight end, and about wide receiver. But, oh, the smartest guys in the room, they didn't want to hear all of that.
Well, Matt Ryan can't do it all by himself.
Matt Ryan didn't do anything yesterday.
Well, right. Well, the... Yeah.
And to answer the question, could a fan in the stand have came down, put on the headset, and got the Colts blown out without scoring a point? Yes.
Well, we were talking with Matt Hiblin, our boss. You were talking to him when I came in to get you for this segment. And Matt made a great point. Alec Pierce, who's supposed to be this great high draft pick by the Colts, this receiver, throughout two games, we could have put Matt in there. And he could have done a better job.
Right, so he didn't play yesterday because he was out with a concussion. But in the first game, he had a couple drops and he got hurt. Matt Hiblin can do that.
Hammer, what do you have coming up this afternoon?
This afternoon, Kevin Bowen will join us. We'll have a little post-mortem of whatever that was in Jacksonville. And Guy Relford, the gun guy from Monday Gun Day.
Perfect. Thanks for coming in. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.